I'd like to take this time for us to shake someone's hand and tell them Merry Christmas. Can we do that? Thank you. I'm not only honored to be here, but I'm very excited because through the years of ministry, it seems like the churches I've been involved in, a pastor of, has always been about 40 minutes away. So it's nice to be in the neighborhood and about 15 minutes away. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, I pray your blessings on tonight's service. I pray that everyone here would see Jesus as the Savior of the world, that they would also see him as the Savior from their sins. I pray that every heart here would be open to your goodness, because you are good, God. And I pray you bless this time in our lives and with our families. And we thank you for another Christmas. We thank you for the cross where our Savior died. But we know he's not there. We know he's risen from the dead to give us newness of life. Lord, I pray your word would speak tonight, that your spirit would work in every heart, and that your son would be magnified and glorified. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 tonight. Luke chapter 1. And this is called To Trust Daily in God. To Trust Daily in God. Luke chapter 1. I'm not sure what version you're using. I'll be reading from the New American Standard, and we'll be starting in verse 5. NIV, okay. This is called Trusting Daily in God. And how do we do that? Where do we find help to do that? And I thought it was apt tonight to help to do that, to trust in God daily, to look at the attributes of God, to look at what God is like, to look at his characteristics of who he is all the time. First, God is spirit. God is spirit, and no man has seen God at any time. And God is also omniscient. He's all-knowing. Simply, God knows everything there is to know, and he knows it all at the same time. And we are needy people. Amen? And God knows that too. Tonight, we're going to look at a man named Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth. And he had a need. And this was a time in his life where his heart's desire had not yet been fulfilled. The question is, would he trust in God? Would he still serve God, waiting on God? Let's look in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abba, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it came about, while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense burning. Look at verse 6, if you will. I want to make sure I point out something before we start. I really believe that this is showing how that Zacharias and Elizabeth already had saving faith in Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? I mean by that that they had faith in the coming Christ, that they already knew God. They already had a personal relationship with God. And why do I say that? Because we know that no one is declared to be righteous without faith in Christ. So first and foremost, I really believe that they had saving faith. And then he's there and he's serving. And it says in verse 11, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God." And then he's standing there, and there, right there is the answer to his answered prayer. And he becomes fearful. And the angel says to him, "Do not be afraid." And then Zacharias says before that to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time." So I look at this priest and you think, he should have known better. He should have been trusting in God that day. God heard his petition, and he should have been trusting God. One thing to his credit, though, and I want to make this clear, he was serving God while he was waiting on God. And sometimes in our life, we're waiting on God and to answer a desire of our heart. We've prayed to him and we've waited for a while, and we set serving him to the side while we're waiting. And to his credit, he still served God while he was waiting. He was declared to be righteous. And this is about daily trusting in God. And even when a crisis of faith happens in our life, trusting in God and having no doubt. Again, this priest should have known better. Which one would rule his heart that day? Would it be doubt or would it be fear? Would it be trusting God or not? Would it be trusting God in the circumstances of life or not? A crisis of faith, I think, can be described this way. It's like someone's going along in life, and then all of a sudden something unexpected happens. Something out of the ordinary happens. A problem arises. And at that moment, will we have faith in God and trust in him, or will we doubt? It could be from anything from an accident happening. It could be anything from an illness or a medical problem that arises. It could be anything from a financial problem that happens. Crisis of faith. I think it's something similar to this. Like someone driving an automobile. Picture this. And suddenly, it begins sliding. And it ends up stopped and precariously hanging over the edge of a cliff. And that's the time in our life when a crisis of faith happens that we need to trust in the Lord. At that moment. And we find out that it's very important how we position ourselves in there, in that situation. And that we do it the right way, in us having faith and in not doubting. And if we doubt, we might go over if we doubt. Crisis of faith. I don't know if you've ever been there. You're going along in your life and something comes up, a problem, some trouble. And it's a time where we find that we can't work our way out of it. We can't do anything really possibly to get us out of it. We have to just trust in God, that he is who he says he is. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 46:10 these comforting words about trusting in God in circumstances in our life. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Realize many times we can't work our way out of it. We can't do anything. We're not able to do anything. And I want to tell you about a miracle, because that's exactly what happened with this man of God, Zacharias, and his wife, Elizabeth. I believe that the Bible teaches us that a miracle is something that only God can do. Sometimes we put a label on a miracle, and it's not necessarily a miracle. Simply, a miracle, I think the Bible teaches, is something that only God can do. And it's also something that's done for only his glory, and something that's done for his purpose. And it's when God does something good in human beings' space and time. And you know what? When you've already prayed to God, and when you're waiting on your heart's desire to happen from God, know that when God does something good, that many times, as we see in the life of John the Baptist, and when the Christ came, that it really comes down to God's timing and not ours. That John the Baptist was to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he was to be born at a certain time, not when his parents wanted a child, and they longed for one, but when God's timing came about, John the Baptist was born. Remember, a miracle simply is something only that God can do. That a miracle is only really something that's done for his glory and his purpose. John the Baptist was born to be a forerunner of Christ. What does that mean? He was to preach the word, unrelenting. God gave him a message to repent so that many people would believe in the Lamb of God that was about to come. Now, the Bible says that him and his wife were advanced in years, and they were still without an offspring at all. And you think about Zacharias, and you think he was a priest, but he had no son to probably hand down his priestly office to. He had no one to do that. He didn't have any heritage going forward at all. And you know what? Elizabeth had to bear that shame until God intervened, that is. And something great had happened for them. And it happened while, again, Zacharias was serving God and serving others. And it happened when he's alone with God. And right there, at the right part of the altar of incense, came the message that your prayer has been answered. And which one would rule his heart on that day? Would it be doubt or would it be faith? And it would be doubt. And really, his doubt and his lack of trusting in God, it dishonored God. So that angel struck him so he couldn't talk for a while. You know, what he could have done, he could have said, well, I know the lot has been cast to me. I'm the one to go in and burn the incense, and I'm going to let somebody else do it. I'm going to let somebody else take my place. I'm going to let somebody else serve. To his credit, he kept serving God. And again, when he's there alone, God answers him. And I want to say what incense is in the Bible. It's mentioned as prayer. Did you know that? Our prayers are like incense to God. And God, it says in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, how he holds on to them for a little while. Any prayer we've ever prayed, any heart's desire that we've shared with God and we've given to God and we're waiting on God, God holds on to them. They're like incense to him, something beautiful to him. Pray to God. Tell him what your heart's desire is. God sees where your heart is, though. He sees whether it's doubting or you're having faith. And we need to realize that he's in the very presence of God there, okay? And that God is without any sin, and so he has unbelief, and so God does something. But God is also merciful. God is also full of grace and truth. And Jesus Christ came that way. If you could turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 18, to see who God is in the face of Christ. To see who God is, Jesus Christ has explained him. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the way. In John chapter 1, verse 18, it says this, I've already mentioned it. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he, or Jesus Christ, has explained him. Jesus is the light. He shows us the way. The name Jesus, did you know what his name means? Simply that the Lord saves. And Christ means this. He came to deliver us. He came to save us. Christ means that he is the anointed one, able to do miracles, anointed to heal, anointed to teach, anointed to preach. There's no one like him. No one like him. And he's able to help broken hearts. That's what he's able to do. In this Christmas time, he's able to do that. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. If you were to look at some cults or false religions, that's the first thing they're going after. And they're saying he is not. And I stand here today and I say the Bible teaches us that he is very God himself. And we never knew God like that before. Because he came as a human being. He came as a man. And there's nobody like him. He came with no imputed sin at all. And at the same time, there's nobody like him. He came as fully God also. Jesus Christ existed always. There was never a time in eternity past that Jesus was not. He was in the beginning. He always was. He is the Son of God. He is the very Son of God. And we need to remember something when we get in trouble. When something goes awry in our life, when it seems like our life has went off the rails, that he is our creator and that it is he who made us and not we ourselves. And that everything is owned by him. Everything belongs to him. And I want to say this as clearly as I can, no matter if your life feels out of control tonight or not, everything is under him. Everything in this world. Now, to remember this and to look at this, if we ever have a crisis of faith like Zacharias did, we must trust in God. We must believe that God is all-powerful, that God is not bound by space or by time, and that nothing is impossible with God, and to not fear. Not fear, because I want to tell you tonight, and I believe it with all my heart, and I hope you do too, that Jesus Christ can still walk on any turbulent like waves in our life to come and to be a present help in time of trouble. He can walk on those turbulent waves wherever we're at. And Jesus Christ can also calm any storm that's in you. There's a storm maybe raging in somebody of worry, of fretting, of troubles. But Jesus said this in John 14, verse 1. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So how do we trust in God daily? What can help us? It's looking at who God is, at his attributes, at his characteristic. What is he really like? God is love. We can rest in that. God is filled with all goodness. That's one of his attributes. We can trust in that. God is faithful to us, faithful from generation to generation. We can rest in that. And God has already done so many great things among us, and he's done them before. And Jesus Christ came. And the good news is that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. He came to take our place. And we can't be saved by our own works, but we're only justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. So let me ask you on this Christmas, during this Christmas service, do you need to be saved tonight? And if you want to come to Jesus Christ with faith like a child and say, I'm a sinner, I need you to save me, I believe you died in my place, he promises that he'll no wise cast you out. What is the gospel? What do we need to believe unless we believe in vain? 1 Corinthians 15 says this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that on the third day he was raised according to the scriptures, according to God's plan. And if you believe that, you will have eternal life. If you believe that, you will have eternal life. We need to also trust in something else if we're waiting on the Lord. And we've prayed and our heart's desire has not been fulfilled yet, that many times it's about God's timing. I remember when I first met my wife. We met, I prayed for her. God sent her that very night. Believe it or not, it's the truth. And it's all about God's timing. You know what happened in our life after that? It seemed like our life was fast forward. Like everything just was going like 100 miles an hour, so we would get to the right place or where we wanted to. Maybe, I'm not saying we were a few days behind, but it sure felt like it because everything was falling into place. And it's the same way with a miracle. When God does something good, it's about his timing. You must believe that Jesus Christ has the power to save you from your sins and respond to God the right way tonight. I ask you, do you need to be saved or are you lost and unbelieving? You should believe that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the Savior from sin, and repent of any unbelief. For God is the judge of all sin, and if Jesus is not God, then he could not take our sins away. He could not cleanse us from our sins or forgive our sins. But what Jesus Christ did was this. He obeyed God perfectly. He kept the law of God perfectly in our place. And only God could do that. And he can forgive. Zacharias had thought his wife could never have a child. And he also thought, and what could God really do about it? But through the divine intervention of God, John the Baptist was born. And God being all wise, when he makes the right choices, he has the right goals, he has the right timing, and everything's done for his purpose. What we need to do is listen to the message that John the Baptist preached. He preached this. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then when Christ came to be baptized, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we need to repent and forsake our sin. And let me ask you this. Maybe there's something in your heart or in your life where you've drawn back from serving Jesus Christ. You know, he's the king, and rightfully so. Maybe there's something wrong in your life and you've drawn back. And you say, you know, I'm going to wait, or I just can't serve him like I used to. Deuteronomy 10:12 says this, to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. What an encouragement, what a blessing to keep serving him, to keep doing that. And again, he remained faithful in his personal relationship with God. He says, I'm here, I'm waiting on you. And God came through, amen. God came through. Romans chapter 12 reminds us also, in your once faithful service to God, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And to the church, let us, church, believe that God is the God over the impossible. God knows where we're at today. And let us have faith in Christ, that he's able to do anything, that he could do something good, and that he's faithful from generation to generation. Let me encourage you to do this. I mentioned many of the attributes of God, who he is, his characteristics of what he is like. And we look at them, and there's many of what he is, but he never changes. Let me encourage you. It might seem like an insurmountable thing to start studying. He's love. What does that mean? He's filled with all goodness. What does that mean? He's omniscient. What does that mean? But he's worth every effort to learn of him that way. Because when the storm comes, and you're out there, it seems all by yourself, that you can trust that Christ can walk out on those turbulent waters and come and be a present help in the time of trouble. Let's pray. Father, if someone tonight needs to put their faith in Jesus Christ and to forsake their sins, I pray that they would be born again tonight, that they call on you, confess you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, and that you'd come into their lives and heart and wash their sins away through your blood. God, we know you can't lie. We know that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, I pray for our households and for our families, that it, as it is for me in my house, as Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Let me read this to you. Just a reminder of what Christmas is about. I love this song. It says, good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting haul. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.